السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما، نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي، ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله، أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين، وعلى من تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى قيام يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره. قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا بني إنها إن تك مثقال حبة من خردل فتكن في صخرة أو في السماوات أو في الأرض يأتي بها الله إن الله لطيف خبير. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. I was reading a book on Islamic spirituality recently, and I came across a short humorous story that is attributed to the life and times of Mullah Nasruddin. It tells us that the Mullah one day, he went to the bank. You know, he had a financial transaction that he needed to take care of. So he goes to the bank, and there he faces the bank employee, the teller. And the teller asks Mullah Nasruddin to verify his identity. You know, when you go to the bank, you have to verify your identity either through your debit card or show an ID or what have you. So Mullah Nasruddin is asked to verify his identity. And he reaches down into his pocket and he pulls out a pocket mirror and he looks at himself in the mirror. He looks at himself for a few moments, he stares, and then he turns to the teller, the bank teller, and he says, "Yep, it's definitely me, don't worry." One of the most prevalent features of our lives today is that often, frequently, we are asked to define ourselves. We are asked about who we are. We notice this in various aspects of our lives. For instance, in school, you'll notice that on the first day of classes, usually the professor asks students to identify themselves, to say a little bit about themselves and who they are. We see this in meetings. We see this with prospective clients or employers. We're asked to tell the person a little bit about ourselves, to identify ourselves, to say who we are. We see this even on social media. You open up a social media account and there's a profile page, or there's a section for your profile to say a little bit about yourself, identify yourself. And in many cases, we notice that we're sort of used to defining ourselves and others in terms of not necessarily who we are, but what we do or what we have. We define ourselves by our education, the degrees that we have, or our social standing, the position that I have in society or in a company, for instance, or my age, for instance, or my hobbies, or my interests. In many cases, we end up defining ourselves and others in terms of some of these superficial realities. What we do, what we possess, what we have. We are conditioned to sort of have these answers. And in many cases, this doesn't really define who we are. My job, what I possess, the education that I have, the social standing, my age, my physical features, my hobbies, they don't necessarily define who we are, the essence of who we are. In the famous tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, "Man arafa nafsahu faqad arafa rabbah." It's very beautiful. It says, the one who recognizes him or herself will recognize their Lord. If you want to know God, you have to first figure out who you are. Being able to identify your essence, who you are, realizing your essence and your value, not just as a physical being, as a physical creation of God, as a material being, but even further than that, as a spiritual being, as a moral being. And not just recognizing that we are composed of this physical and spiritual essence and being, but also to recognize our responsibilities in the society and in the life that we have. That we are responsible, not just for ourselves, but we are also responsible for others around us. And this really forms the crux of the Islamic vision. The Islamic vision is one that attempts to allow us to be cognizant and conscious of our role and our responsibilities, to realize our potentials both as individuals, but also as members of society, and what our responsibilities are in order to promote the betterment of society. What our role and responsibilities are to further extend goodness, not just to ourselves and reach our personal potentials, but also where we are and what we contribute to the betterment of society at large, to develop the world around us. One day the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he was asked by his companions, he was asked, who is the person that God loves most? You can imagine that the companions were probably waiting for an answer that had something to do with this person's level of worship, or their piety, their righteousness, their level of faith. They were probably expecting the Prophet to say, the one who prays Salatul Layl every night, or the one who goes to Hajj every year, or the one who prays in congregation in the masjid every single day. Right? They were probably expecting this sort of answer. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he replied to them, he said, the most beloved and valuable person in the eyes of God is the one who is the most useful to others. The one who is most beneficial to others around him. This is the person who is most valuable and the greatest in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another tradition, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wasallam, he says, the best of you is the one who is the best to his family, to his kin, to those around him. Reminding us that we're not just individuals. It's not just about developing my personal situation, my personal stature, whether it's material or even spiritual. It's not just about having personal faith, individual faith, and growing in my personal and individual faith. This is important. But our responsibility also extends beyond ourselves to others around us. And thus we are encouraged. In another tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he says, "الدال على الخير كفاعل." The one who directs others, points others to goodness, receives the reward of that goodness. Meaning what? Meaning that sometimes you yourself may not necessarily be able to provide direct assistance or use to others. Someone, for instance, as an example, someone is in financial need and they come to you and they say, "Listen, I'm in need financially. Please help me out." Now, in some cases, you might be able to help that person. You're in a situation where you can help others financially. Sometimes you're not in a situation to help others financially. You yourself are struggling. Does that mean that here you just say no? You say to this person, "Listen, I'm sorry, I can't help you. I'm struggling also. I'm also in financial need." And so in doing that, then you're of no use to that person in that specific circumstance. Here the Prophet says, it's not that you always have to directly help someone. But even if you're not able to directly assist others, you can at least do what? You can point them to the direction in which they can find benefit and use. You yourself might not be able to help this person, but you can point them in the direction in which they can seek help. A person has a problem with his spouse. A sister has a problem with her husband, for instance, or a family problem, or some other problem, and they come to you and they want advice. And you say, "You know, I'm sorry, this is not my area of expertise. I'm not, you know, competent when it comes to, you know, marriage counseling, for instance, or providing any advice in your situation. But you know what? I know someone who is. I know someone who can help you. I know someone who can provide you with assistance, can help you, can give you advice, can be of benefit to you." Here the Prophet ﷺ, he says, "الدال على الخير كفاعل." The one who directs others to goodness, also, it's as if he or she has performed that act of goodness himself. Because we're encouraged to try our best to be useful to others, to be of benefit to others around us. Today, one of the biggest and most prominent misconceptions that we see in our communities and the society at large is the misconception that bigger is always better. That value, the value of something, goes in accordance to how big it is, to the quantity of an act. If an act is big, it's a good act. If it's big, then that is valuable. Otherwise, it's not considered valuable. In other words, we assume that the greater an act is, the more valuable and the more in need or worthy of reward it is. Whereas this is not necessarily the case, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who sees our actions and our intentions, Allah is able to judge the true, genuine value of an act. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala not only sees the act, but also sees the intention behind the act. And sometimes you can do a huge act, but if your intention is a wrong intention, then in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, maybe in the eyes of people, they might not see your intention. They might say, "Wow, mashallah, this act is worthy of praise. This act is valuable." They may not necessarily see your intention, whereas Allah sees the intention and says, "No, this person may have given this entire money to this charity, for instance, but he or she did it solely to show off, only for that purpose, only to receive recognition from people. He or she did not do it sincerely." And so in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this act becomes what? Becomes valueless. And sometimes, in fact, it becomes detrimental. It counts against us in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whereas on the other hand, sometimes the act is small in terms of quantity, but it has flavor. It has quality to it. And as such, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala judges us based on the quality of our actions and not necessarily based on the quantity of our actions. And this is something that is important for us to keep in mind. Sometimes an action might be a small action in terms of its quantity, but in terms of its quality, it's a great action. It is one that has profound consequences and repercussions. When we come to the Islamic tradition, we notice that the tradition emphasizes that we never miss an opportunity to do good because we underestimate the value of an act or the consequences, the results of an act. We think, for instance, that this act is small in terms of its quantity, and as such, it's not really worth my time. It's not really going to make a big difference. And so what we end up doing is missing an opportunity to perform good because we underestimate the value of that act. And this is quite problematic. The tradition sort of encourages us to think about the importance of the value of an act and not to underestimate its value. Sometimes the act is not only small, not only valuable in terms of its impact on the individual who is performing the act, or the individual who is benefiting from that act, but sometimes the benefit even extends to society. There was a recent study that was performed by a professor at the University of California, San Diego. He's a medical genetics and a political science professor. I don't know how he brought these two fields together, but kudos to him. He made a study on the impact of good acts. And what he said is that when people perform certain acts, certain good acts, kind acts, even if they're small acts, what this basically does is it inspires not only the person who performs the act when they see the benefit of that act, not only does it inspire that person, it inspires also the one who's receiving the benefit to also try to do what? To mimic. To then go and perform a good act, a kind act, him or herself. In fact, the study goes further and says that not only does it benefit these two individuals, the giver and the receiver, if you will, but it also benefits those who witness the act, those who hear about the act. They are also inspired. And so, you know, the technical term, the scientific term for this, according to the study, is what is called upstream reciprocity. In other words, that there's a domino effect. That if someone does a kind act to me, even if it's a small kind act, a small gesture, then in turn I am also inspired to do something else to others, and others who witness this act, they are also inspired. And there have been many ideas that have come about. There have been many instances of what is known as upstream reciprocity, this domino effect of goodness. Based on what? Based on a small act of kindness. Based on a small act of goodness. So when we come to the traditions, the Islamic tradition in fact emphasizes on what we call the small, emphasizes on the little. We have many traditions in various aspects of our lives where the tradition, the Islamic tradition, emphasizes, encourages us to engage in the small, to do the small. For example, when it comes to helping others who are in need financially, helping the destitute, helping the need, We have a plethora of traditions that tell us that to give a little bit is better than what? Than not giving at all. Because you yourself, you might not think it makes a huge difference, but for this person in need, it may make a huge difference. It may make a big difference in their lives. It may change their lives for the better, even if it's small, in your eyes. But yet we are encouraged to help. We find in the tradition that is related by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, in the sermon that he delivers for the commencement, the inception of the month of Ramadan, in the long sermon welcoming the month of Ramadan and explaining the value and significance of the month of Ramadan and acts within this holy month, the Prophet ﷺ, he says, وَاتَّقُوا النَّارَ وَلَوْ بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. Very beautiful. He says, my companions, safeguard yourselves from the fire and find success even by providing the one who is in need or the one who is fasting to help them break their fast with what? بِشِقِّ تَمْرَ. With a portion of a date. Not one complete date, a portion of a date. You have one date, you cut it in half, and you offer a portion of a date to someone who is fasting, to break their fast at the time of breaking fast. The Prophet ﷺ says, this small act can be what? Can be a way for you to avoid the punishment of the hellfire. This is amazing. This is the Holy Prophet, peace be upon him, talking. He's not exaggerating here, brothers and sisters. He's not. Because what he's trying to tell us is that there is value to this act. If everyone engages in this behavior, it makes a difference in society in the long run. It impacts society as a whole. Because the value is not of what we give, but in the act of generosity itself, in the act of giving itself. Because this means what? This means that we're mindful of others. That we're thinking about others. I'm not just thinking about myself. It's not just about my personal ego, my individual ego. I'm thinking about the safety and the security and the well-being of others around. We have another example that emphasizes the importance of removing something harmful from the path. There are many traditions that tell us that to remove something harmful from the road or from your area is what? Is an act of charity. It's an act of sadaqah. It's a small act. You might be passing somewhere, you're walking, whether it's in school or in your neighborhood or at work, or you know, you're coming to the masjid, you're in the parking lot, wherever it may be, and you see something harmful. Doesn't necessarily have to be something that may hurt someone. But for instance, you see litter, right? You can imagine how litter can be harmful. Someone might come and, you know, for instance, literally it could be harmful. There's like a banana split. You see in the cartoons it happens all the time, huh? There's a banana split. Someone might fall over, trip over this banana split and physically get hurt. So this is a physical harm. Or sometimes it's not necessarily a physical harm. It is what? It is more of a moral, intellectual harm. You can imagine, for instance, in the context that we have. You have the masjid, and outside in the parking lot, there's litter. Someone is drinking tea, for instance, they litter, they throw their cup on the ground, as an example. You can see that the harm that this may cause in the eyes of others, they say, well, here you have a masjid, an Islamic center, and their job is to do what? Their job is to come, to have their programs, to be loud, to use the parking and to litter. It could be a small act of kindness. You see litter around in your neighborhood, in the parking lot, at school, at work, wherever it may be, and you take this and you throw it in the trash. This is an act of charity according to our traditions. It's a small act. It's not going to make headlines, huh? CNN is not going to come and do an interview with you and say, you know, how did it feel when you took the banana peel off the road? They're not. But it's going to make a huge impact in the lives of others. Someone else might see this act and they're also inspired. They're inspired to work towards the betterment of society around them. Sometimes it's even a smile, brothers and sisters. A smile, small smile. You might notice someone who, that person might be having a bad day, and all they need for their day to change, for their mood to change, is for you to smile for them. And this inspires them, it helps them. They see someone who is smiling. Brothers and sisters, it's important for us to think about how, as individuals, can we not only contribute to our goodness, our personal goodness, but also what are some of the things that we can do to contribute to the betterment of society as a whole. And in this, everyone has a role. Every single person has a role. Because the significance is not necessarily in the act that we do, but in the intention behind this act, no matter how small it may seem in our eyes. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to be agents of positive change in our lives and in the lives of others. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihati wa tawasaw bil haqqi wa tawasaw bil sabr. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد وصل اللهم وسلم على أوصيائه وأهل بيته وعلى علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وإمامي الهدى الحسن والحسين سيدي شباب أهل الجنة وعلى أئمة المسلمين علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه عباد الله أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله عز وجل ولزوم أمره قال الله تعالى في محكم كتابه الكريم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فمن يعمل مثقال ذرة خيرا يره ومن يعمل مثقال ذرة شرا يره آمنا بالله صدق الله العلي العظيم In the first sermon, we talked about the significance of good acts and that the value of a good act is not necessarily defined by its quantity, but more important by its quality and by the intention behind it. So it's not necessarily how much good you do, but that you do good. And this is what we are encouraged to do. And what is true for goodness, brothers and sisters, is also true for evil and wrong. The Qur'an, in one example, it gives us the story of an event that occurred during the time of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which an event occurred which caused a commotion in the community in Medina. And some members in the community, they started to go around and they started to make rumors. They started to spread rumors. And they did so as if there were no tomorrow. They did so very, you know, easily. And the Quran relates to us this story, relates to us this event, where people were going around and they were making rumors. They were pushing these rumors. And they were slandering people within the community. In this context, it was the wife of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And the Quran comes and it reprimands. Number one, for the act itself. For the act of slander. But number two, also for how easy it was for community members to do what? To spread these rumors, to engage in this sort of behavior. The Quran tells us, إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِنَتِكُمْ وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ. And what you did was that you spread these rumors by your tongues, by speaking, and you were saying things that you were not certain of. They were based on what? Based on conjecture. They were based on suspicion. You heard something, it sounded what? Sounded juicy, and now you want to tell someone else. The Quran here comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reprimands this behavior. He says, وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. And in doing so, you considered it what? You considered it trivial. It's not a big deal. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. You considered it trivial, you considered it small, you considered it little. But in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was huge, it was magnificent. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And it's important for us brothers and sisters to realize that sometimes we make this distinction between what we call small sins and big sins, minor sins and major sins. And although we have this category of minor sins or small sins, it's important to realize that once these sins occur and once we get comfortable with these sins, then what ends up happening? It leads to bigger sins. Because after all, a sin, by definition, a sin is an act of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if I get comfortable disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it's a small sin, then what stops me from getting comfortable in performing a larger sin, a bigger sin? If I'm comfortable with the disobedience itself, what stops me from engaging in bigger crimes? What stops me from engaging in bigger sins? The famous tradition by the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he says, لَا تَنْظُرْ إِلَىٰ صِغَرِ الذَّنْبِ وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ مَنْ عَصَيْتْ. Don't consider the minuteness of the sin. Say, well, you know, this was a white lie. This was a small lie. I said one bad thing about this person. I cheated this person with a few dollars here. It was just a few. Small profit. It wasn't a big deal. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, the hadith says, do not consider the minuteness of the sin, how small it is. وَلَكِنْ انْظُرْ مَنْ عَصَيْتْ. Ask yourself, who have I disobeyed? Who have I been disloyal to? The same God that has prohibited big sins has prohibited small sins. It's the same God, it's not a different God. It's not a less important God, it's the same God. And so we have to keep this in mind, brothers and sisters. And we have to keep in mind that one of Shaitan's greatest tactics, one of the ways in which he is able to lure us in, is by trivializing both the good and the bad. When it comes to performing a good act, Shaitan comes and says what? Says, this is not worth it. You have a dollar in your pocket, someone is in need. What's a dollar going to do for this person? What is giving advice going to do for this person? What is participating in this program going to do for this person? What is, you know, helping out with this small thing going to? It's not going to make a difference. Right? You hear this with elections also. I was listening to a report on the news, and the report was regarding voting. And there was a person who was being interviewed. The person says, listen, I don't vote. And the reason why I don't vote is because I don't consider it important. My vote doesn't count. There's 300 million people. What's one vote going to do? If everyone thinks this way, then what? Then it has catastrophic results. It has a huge impact. It has huge consequences. So what Shaitan does is he trivializes the good. He tells you it's not worth it. But at the same time, he also trivializes the bad. When you intend on performing a bad deed, Shaitan tells you what? It's okay, don't worry about it. Allah is the most merciful. Allah is the most compassionate. Don't worry about it. You do this and you can seek forgiveness. Allah will forgive you. It's important for us to realize, not to trivialize neither the good nor the bad. That we understand that the value of a good act is not necessarily in how big or small it is, but in the intention behind this act. And that we realize that an evil act is evil and wrong, no matter whether it's big or small, because of the inherent disobedience, the inherent wrong in this act. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us in the Quran. He says, فَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ خَيْرًا يَرَى. Whoever performs even an atom's weight of good, will what? We'll see the results. وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ شَرًّا يَرَى. And the person who does even the smallest amount of wrong, will see the results. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Almighty, to give us the capacity to purify our hearts and our minds, to give us the capacity to engage in goodness with sincerity and righteousness and dedication to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us to that which pleases Him and away from that which displeases Him. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring a full and speedy recovery to those who are ill, those who are sick. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring safety and security to all of those who are suffering around the world. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless the souls of those who have passed away. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر قوموا إلى صلاتكم يرحمكم الله